You know, you've got, I've heard most of my Christian life, and I believe to start with, that faith is blind. People call it blind faith. But you know, when I discovered faith, you know, and I preached against that. That's not a doctrine of the Bible. Faith is not blind. Faith actually is seeing. Faith will call, faith sees. You know, faith's not blind. Faith is not, God can, but I wonder if you will. Faith, when you get a hold of faith, you read in the Bible and you say, God can. And then when you get a hold of real faith, you know he will. You know he can. You know he will. And he'll do it for you. Hallelujah. But if I was going to tell the servant, it was believing is seeing. And maybe we'll get into some scriptures. People, God's people, a lot of God's people that don't have faith is because they don't activate what they know. You got to be a doer of the word. Give me that James before we get kicked off here. I want to show you what James said. It says, be ye doers of the word. Somebody say doers.
Doers.
The word doers there, I used to look at all this in a negative sense. You know, because I had so much in my life that I was way far from my lifestyle as a Christian is what I wanted to be. And I heard people, you know, they would get on stuff, you know, and shouldn't do that. And all that. And I went around feeling condemned a lot of times, you know. I just felt like I can't measure up or whatever, you know, to the point to where I went to the Lord and I told the Lord, I said, look, Lord, you know, I did you great disservice before I come to you, and you saved me and you delivered me from the powers of darkness. But Lord, I've got this and this, and I begin to name off things in my life that I wasn't satisfied with, that I couldn't seem to change. You know, it just seemed like I couldn't change it. And so I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm just going to turn back. I'm going to turn back because I don't want to bring a reproach to the kingdom. And I don't want to cause people to stumble because I'm not perfect. You know, and the Lord reminded me of the scripture in the Bible, brought it up to my attention. See, this is the power of being a doer of the word. That's what I'm fixing to tell you. That word hadn't meant nothing to me, but Jesus made a statement. He said, I would rather you enter in lame than not enter in at all. And that part of that scripture came to me immediately after that I told the Lord that I was going to turn back. Because see, I don't know about a lot of folk, you know, but I believe, you know, you either be all in or just, you know, don't go this route. You know what, you're going to suffer a lot of defeat.
Right.
And you know, and I thought to myself at that time, I thought, glory to God. You know, the Lord's okay with me right now. And what happened is I embraced that word. God took that written scripture that I had read and made it alive on the inside of me at that moment.
Amen.
That's what revelation is. I had a revelation that God wasn't looking for a reason to take me out. God wasn't looking for a reason for me to quit. I realized that God was okay with me. And then I went not long after that, you know, and I heard a sermon about that God's still working on you. You know, a sermon came not too long after that. And I realized, I'm sitting there and I realized all the problem is I'm under construction. You know, kind of like building a house. You know, you set out to build a house, or you just fired up, and then the contractor does a little bit of it wrong, throws things off. Well, you don't just quit on the house.
Right.
You just fix it. You just go back and you fix it, and you keep building, and before you know it, you move in the house.
Amen.
You know, well, that's the way we are as believers. We're under construction. You know, we're going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. But you know, I realized back then, I realized, okay, Lord, I've heard these people and preachers say, you know, that we walk by faith and not by sight. You know, And I said, I've got to walk by faith. I've got to learn to walk by faith concerning me, concerning my life. You know? And so I got in the Bible, and that's what he talked about, being a doer of the word. Doer of the word means you embrace that word, whether it's against you. Come on, somebody. The word is not to destroy us ever. The word empowers me, empowers you outside of church services, empowers you on the job, empowers you in your heart and in your mind that you're more than a conqueror. See, for to have real Bible faith, there must be based on the word. You must have a base, and the word is a basis for faith. Well, it's like Scripture says that we're kings and priests unto God. And I've heard people go and shout that and say that and then go off and they say, well, you know, we're just no sinners saved by grace. I thought they don't believe that yet. They're saying it in church service, testifying of it, you know. But when you go out and you hear them just normal conversation, they're saying we're just worms, you know. We're not worthy of anything God has. They really don't know. You know, when you really know, then you get up in the morning and you say, glory to God, this is the day the Lord has made. I'm the apple of God's eye. I am a king and a priest unto God. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens. And you remind yourself, and that's how you get Bible faith and maintain Bible faith. You know, you get faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. But let's read this. So be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving our own self. In other words, James is saying here, if you only hear the word and you don't be a doer of the word, you will deceive yourself. You don't even need the devil. He says, deceiving your own selves. For any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was with. But whoso looked into the perfect law of liberty, talking about the word, and continued therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be what?
Blessed.
Now James wrote that. Inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so I told the Lord years ago, I said, Lord, help me not to only be a hearer, but to be a doer of your word, Lord. If you say that I'm healed, then help me to be a doer. Come on, the Bible says, by Jesus Christ ye were healed. We've got to be a doer. Yes, sir, I'm healed. The devil told me I couldn't preach tonight. Been attacked, throat. Talk a little while, voice goes, I can't go out tonight.
Amen.
Why? I'm healed.
Amen.
They can't tell me I can't. Am I preaching?
Yep. Come on.
See, I gotta be a doer of the word. Kind of like Teresa told me one time, met me, she was dealing with that vertigo stuff. Met me at the door, been on the couch 3 or 4 months. A year, probably. Meets me at the door, has the keys in her hand, let's go. I reached for the keys, she said, I'm driving. Now she's a drunk woman. See, she's being a doer. She's not sitting anymore on the couch, locked in that body. She doesn't come out, although she ain't come out of the symptoms yet. She doesn't see, you come out. See, real faith sees. Real faith motivates. It motivates me to be wealthy.
Mm-hmm. Come on. Bless me.
It motivates me to be rich.
Bless me.
I can't have it. It's not something that I don't go after. I don't desire it. But I'm telling you, bless God, I know how to bleed for it.
Amen.
And I mean, that thrills me. That faith thrills me. It thrills me. When I bleed for one project and it comes, I feel I got to do something else. Because faith is a motivating force. That's why we got to make sure that we get faith. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the truth. Give me that Romans 10:17. See, I'm not going to look into the Word and say I'm a new creation and leave the Word, leave the mirror, and forget what manner of man I was. Not going to happen. Now, I don't have to battle with that anymore. I whipped that one a long time ago.
Amen.
Long time ago. Come back on. Down yonder. I defeated that one. You're a nobody. You're nothing. You're going nowhere. You're never going to do anything.
Come on.
Told Doris, I said, I was talking about Jeffrey. I didn't know he was a preacher. I've never heard him say he's a preacher. But we're standing there during praise and worship, and the Lord spoke it to me. And the third time, I looked at Jeffrey, and I knew that's him. I didn't know it. He's been in the family for 25 years,
26 next month.
26. I didn't know it. That's Teresa's sister's boy. Now I picked him up on a bus and brought him here to, you know, church. Back when he was a little kid, him and the three boys. And I told him, I said, "You a preacher?" "Yeah." And then when he starts off the stage, I said, "Well, get ready."
Amen.
What I mean by that, I mean, you know, now I know how I was back then. I'm fired up. I'm called to preach. And I was telling Doris, I was asking Doris, that's his grandmother. I was asking her, she said, "I didn't know it." I said, "Well, I didn't know it either. He doesn't." I told her, I said, you know, was talking about him, you know, developing and everything. And I said, "You know what?" I said, if I knew what I know now and the things that I was going to go through to get where I am now, just in ministry, because it's, you know, you got to have grace. You got to have an anointing to operate in the call that God gives you. Because, and even in just being a Christian and prospering and all of that, that's why we got to abide in the grace of God. Because this Christian life is not a normal life. It is a Spirit-led, Spirit-filled, Holy Ghost-empowered, Word-prompted walk. And so I told her, I said, if I knew now, then, what I was going to have to, I'd do it again at this work. It's been working. See, just as a Christian, no matter what you've got to go through, the battle you've got to go through, the trials, the standing on the Word, the waiting on God, the learning, the discipline, all of that that it takes really to walk in a greater anointing, just as a dad, a mom, or whatever the case might be, you know, it is all worth it.
Amen.
The satisfaction, the guarantee. How many knows the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is the guarantee, the down payment of what we've laid hold of?
Come on.
He is the guarantee. I was doing a Tuesday night Bible study back here before the church began. And I've been fasting and studying and just meditating on the Word. And all of a sudden, it came alive to me in Romans 8:16. It says, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. And I thought, that's what I've got on the inside. The Holy Spirit is bearing witness in my spirit that I'm really born again. And from that point till now, that devil don't even have a chance in hell to talk me out of my salvation.
Amen.
Period. I know that I know that I know that I know that I'm born again. Born of the Spirit of God.
Come on.
And it was quickened to me where it says, if the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, thank God for the Bible. This come out of the Bible, this knowledge that I was getting. Come out of the Bible. Me reading the Bible. It says, but the same, the same Spirit that raised Jesus, if he abides in you, he will quicken your mortal body. That's how come he can't keep me sick. Can't kill me now. I'm not through.
Come on. Amen.
No, Travis, they said, "You hurting in there?" I said, "Yeah, I've been attacked my lungs with this garbage, son." I said, "Besides that, I said, I'm not afraid to die." I'm not fear. I don't fear death. I read in the Bible where it says, "Oh death, where is your victory?" It's been swallowed up in victory.
Amen.
Jesus swallowed up death. The Bible says that Jesus took the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah. The Bible says, in him we move, breathe, and have our being. Now see, all this that I'm saying, my faith in that is real because of the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit has quickened. But anyhow, I came down to the Bible study. And I brought up that scripture. As the boy there just starts weeping. He just starts weeping. Tears running down his eyes. I'm thinking, I don't know what's taking place. How many know the Holy Spirit quickens things?
Amen.
Yep. I'm just sharing that, you know. I said, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Amen. See, now, if you're not born again tonight, you ain't got that resurrection power. You don't have it. Well, I've went to church. You still don't have it.
Right.
Well, mom and them took me to church. I read the Bible from Genesis. And you still don't have it.
Right.
See, this Spirit comes in by invitation.
Right.
Lord, I need you. I'm lost. I realize that I'm religious, whatever the case may be. I've been to church. I told Travis one time, I said, son, there'll come a time when you don't live off of daddy's anointing anymore. There'll come a time when you got to tap into your own anointing. You got to walk your own walk. You got to make choices for the Lord. I was just telling him, you don't live just because you've been raised in church all your life. That don't make you right with God. That don't make you under that anointing. That don't put you under the power of the blessing. Hallelujah. You know, it says over there, you go back and read, and it said over there, the man that does this, that is the doer of the word, he will be blessed in his deed, not cursed. Just today, I didn't feel like going to get the food. I hadn't got to work all week. I get depressed when I don't get to work. Got to sit in the house. I mean, I can't help it, man. I don't know what's wrong with me other than I'm fired up about life, I reckon.
Come on.
You know? So Travis, he says, work. I'm like, yes. Oh, yeah, we get to go to work tomorrow, man. I felt better already. Well, anyways, you know, I come in and I thought, man, I've got this big front end off of this tractor, you know, and I thought, man, I can't get that on there by myself, you know. I thought, well, Travis is gone, blah, 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 you know. And so I thought, I'm going to do it in Jesus' name. I'm not just telling you my story. Things that seem impossible to you, why don't you get a little faith out there and get a little gusto and realize that there's somebody with you, angels, and all of that, and give you and help you and give you wisdom and cause things to happen.
Amen.
So I go over there, drag that thing off, like not I got it off of Teresa's little tractor, carried it over there, and I told the Lord, I said, okay, Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, help me. Help me to put this front end on there. You know what? That front end got on there.
Amen.
I mean, it just like, and things fell, and it fell in place. And I'm like, oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Bless
you, Lord. It took somebody 6 hours to put it in there. Me and Jesus put it in there in about 45 minutes.
Bless
you. See, now, I mean, that just sounds like a great story, but I'm telling you, when you know that God's with you, and when you know because you're a doer of the word, you're saying, God, I'm not mature yet, Lord, but I want to grow up, Lord. Lord, I'm not like you want me to be, Lord. I want to be like you. Lord, help me to be like you, Lord. Give me the desires that you desire, Lord. Help me to overcome the desires that you don't desire. That's being a doer. That's embracing the word of God, you know. But it says here in verse 17, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing. Somebody say hearing.
Hearing.
Hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Faith comes, it don't come by trials. I mean, it don't come by miracle. You're seeing a miracle.
That's right.
If he would have said, so then faith comes by seeing and hearing miracles.
Right.
He didn't say that. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I heard about Jesus faith come that he was real. And I proved it out. It had been there 27 years of my life. My life would have been a lot better if I'd have served Jesus the first 27. But I didn't. But I'm there and I'm like, Lord, if you're really real, help me. I was broken. I was in a place where I knew that I needed help from God. So I was crying out to God.
Come on.
You know, just like a million there that died, he didn't really see any need for God. Because all his needs had been supplied, worked hard for years. He didn't see any need for God. But he got the gospel preached to him. And he got it laid out that good works don't get you to right with God and get you to heaven. Money don't get you right with good, being a good person don't get you right with God and all of that. You know, you've got to go through Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I told that 90-something-year-old man, you must go through Jesus. And I told him, I said, see, I'm trying to get faith to the dude in Jesus. Because he's had faith in money, faith in substance, faith in things. He was a millionaire. Probably two or three times. I don't know how much the dude had. But I knew that he's fixing to leave here and he's going to enter into eternity. Whether he believes it or whether he don't believe it. And I thought many times, I thought, what if that dude had served Jesus all these years? He would have been a quadrillionaire. He would have built mega churches probably. He would have did exploits in the name of Jesus. He would have did way greater. And his only thing was, how can he control people for 20 years of spending everything? That's sad, ain't it? If I leave here for Teresa, I ain't controlling nothing. Come on, somebody.
Bless him, Lord.
See, I'm free. Don't the Bible say, whom the Son sets free is free?
Yeah.
Well, then I'm free from all of this down here. I'm only passing through here. You're only passing through here. But we're supposed to be passing through here healed, delivered, strong, wealthy, secure.
Amen.
Confidence in God. Confidence in God in us. Hallelujah. Laying there today, I'm trying to go to sleep. I'm just meditating on the Lord. Trying to take a nap. 2 o'clock, 1:30 or 2. Just laying there, and I couldn't help it. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I said, I'm having this desire to have millions of dollars. I don't even know why. I don't even want nothing. I was thinking about how I made up my mind, you know, that I'm not going to make payment. See, God wants you to be a good steward of what he gives you. And he wants you to make wise decisions that don't burn you and you wish you'd have never made them. He don't want you making decisions like that. He wants you to have wisdom from him. And he says in the book of James that if a man will ask you for wisdom, he will give it to him liberally. Whatever. That's not in my message.
Amen. Come on.
Freely. He wouldn't hold back. And so I set out and I said, Okay, I want a different truck here, Lord. You know, the Lord, he said, sell that one. Save the money. There's something in save. He didn't say sell it and blow it. He said, sell that one and save it. So I put it in my pocket, and there's 1,000 things I wanted between then and what I'm driving, and I wouldn't get rid of it.
Come on.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Because he said, sell that, save it. Truck comes up. Guy wants $2,000 for it. I thought, not touching that now. See if I got that much over here. I ain't touching that. That's a good deal. I don't care. He said, save it. Because what I'm looking at is not what I want. It's going to help me get what I want without the bank. See, you can go the freeway. Faith carries you on that road of success. You just got to work it. You got to work with God you know, honor God with your finances, all that stuff. Because God's coming back after a glorious church. Not a broke church, not a weak church, not a subdued church by the world and the world system. See, we operate in a different system. The world has a system. He said, come out from among the world.
Amen.
He said, don't be conformed to the world. We use the system biblically. And so I says, okay. So I go up there, I tell the dude, I said, I'll give you, and I told him what I give you for. Oh, man. He said, will you give me this? I said, I'll give you that. I give $800 for the truck. 2003 Silverado Black, 5-speed, had a little character flaws, all that.
Bless you. Thank you, Jesus.
So I'm going, you know, and I'm pretty satisfied, but I don't feel, okay, been here before, Lord. It's not that it's a bad truck, it's a good truck, but this is not my truck. That's why I don't feel at home in it. But I drove it around, you know, and then all of a sudden, I felt like trade. See, we got to be a doer of the word. That's what I'm talking about. Doer of the word is not just spiritual, it is natural too. It's applying spiritual principles in the natural that the kingdom and the system will work. The Bible says in Proverbs 10:22, it says, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. One thing you must learn is not to put your trust in money for your future. Money to take care of you, the government, handouts, all that. When they're going to want a handout, I just plug my ears up and say, not this. Give me something free. No, Johnny's working for it.
That's right.
Hello, somebody. Well, I'm not going that route. The blessing's going to make Scotty rich. This contractor told me one time, he said, man, he said, you come down, you do all my doors. He said, I'll make you rich. Like I got in my truck and I said, he'll never make me rich. I'll turn it down. The Lord, you're the one. Ain't no man gonna say they made Scotty rich.
Right.
Ain't no man gonna put no label on there that Scotty worked hard. And Scotty will tell you right now, I work my faith hard.
Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
I like to rest. The Bible talks about in Hebrews, he said, he that is ceased from his own work has entered into rest. Rest means when you get off work, you go home. I ain't doing nothing, I'm sitting on the couch. You go rest. Well, we're supposed to rest all the time in Jesus and in the Word of God and in the finished Word. While we ain't seen nothing happening, quit laboring.
Mm-hmm.
And just trust Him and go on, you know. Well, I'm out there and I'm looking on Marketplace or whatever, and there's this old 94 old school Z71. 94. My mind says, man, you're driving a 2004. And you're going to a 94. You know? But I looked at several of them, and me and Travis went and looked, and they wasn't what the people saying. But anyhow, me and Travis goes and looked at it, and he enjoys that. He thinks, you know, he likes to tag along with Adam also when he's in the sun. I tag along, Daddy. He has fun. I'm always trading around. I had him on a boat one time trying it out, and it caught on fire with him. They used the fire extinguisher and put it out, caught right back good. Put it out again, caught right back up, and I told them to take the battery cable off. They're out there, man, burning up in the gutter of a lake. I told them, I said, go try this jet ski out. They won't try much out for me now. I let them do all them trial runs. Tell them, this jet ski, it runs good. They go out there, quits on them out there. They have to get there out in the middle of the flagging somebody down, had to be drug in with the jet ski. I told him, go try that pontoon. No, we ain't going to try that out. It's a pontoon, man. So I had to go run that myself, praise God. Then they'll go on. You sure it runs good? Runs good. Are you sure? Yeah, I just went out in it. But anyway, I go up there, and this one, Travis, he goes with me. Now I look around, paint's a little rough, and I go to thinking, I'm not going to sink no money in it, and you know what I'm thinking? Well, mine ain't worth about probably $1,200, $1,400. I thought I can get probably $25,000 to $3,000 out of this. Z71, good shape, air conditioning, all that work, just a little rough, faded, clear coat, all that stuff. without going on down through there, looking through there, and I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm just going to look and you tell me. How many knows the Bible says in Proverbs 3, acknowledge him. Don't be impatient. Acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all, thank God for that word, doesn't he?
Right.
In the Holy Spirit reminded me, acknowledge God, don't leave him out. And then all of a sudden, you know, I'm looking, and I find this truck that I'm driving now. It's an 04 Z71, extended cab, you know, it's got the little four on, got a set of tie wheels already on it, you know. Done got me some smoked headlights. You know, somebody done put some smoked headlights in it. Made it look kind of cool coming down the road, you know. And all of that stuff. Got the louvers already on it, you know.
Amen.
And so I tell the dude, I said, okay. I said, this is what I got. Shot him some pictures. He said, don't you want to come drive it? I said, you said it's good. Well, I feel it in here, Johnny. I don't have to wonder. I got a witness. This is it. I don't need nothing else. I tell him, he says, don't you want to drive it? I said, I'll come look at it. Get up there. And he said, what you got on your mind? I said, I'm going to give you $2,500 and you're going to give me $2,500 for mine. Another 25? He goes and looks around at Johnny. I said, look at it, man. It's got headers. Headers. Then I told him, I said, look, man, I'm not going to talk anymore. You make your own mind up. I said, you make your own mind up. I said, I drove this bad boy down here, and I'm buzzing 80 miles. That baby would run 80 and up on 2 RPM. Just cruise, man. Well, he went on, and he said, would you do $2,650? I said, let me see how much cash I got. I had $2,650. No, he said $2,800. I said, I got $2,650. That's it. Want it? Well, let's do it, man. Let's do it. He said, go drive it. I said, I don't have to drive it. I said, let's do it. I said, you said it's good. I trust it's good. You ain't going to drive it? I said, I don't have to drive it. I said, you man, you were right. Oh, yeah, I wouldn't lie and burn it for a lie to you. That's kind of a lie. He might lie to anybody else, but I got an anointing, right? I never even drove this. I really like that truck. I buzzed on home with it, and it's great. I like it. I'm going to keep it.
Bless him,
it's an 04. You know, nice truck, praise God. Short wheelbase. Even said, I'm going to take that toolbox. I said, get it off of there. I don't like toolboxes. Takes up my bed space. We stood around there in a few minutes. He said, you know what? I'm not taking that off. He said, I tried to put a ladder under there, and it wouldn't let the ladder go under there, and I lost 5 ladders already. I want that box out of my yard. Well, I got a box with it then. Praise God. See, we believe that God. See, what I'm saying, let me just tell you my story. I said out, God, I'm tired of going to the bank. I'm not going to the bank, God. And it seems like I need to go this route, and it's under pressure, and I can't have nothing without going to the bank. Now, I've been 20 years doing this. It's not that this just happened all of a sudden. I had to work with God and build my faith and endurance, you know, and trust in him. And it looks like you better go get you a truck or you're going to be walking. And I ended up paying $12,500 cash first time in the history of being in business for a really nice service truck.
Amen.
When I get in that, I'm like, pay for it, Jesus' name. Used to, I'm like, it's only $380 a month for 5 years, Lord.
Bless him, Lord.
Believing for 5 years to make them payments. In 3 weeks of standing strong and firm, and Teresa on me about getting it by faith. Hallelujah. Thank God for them women. That's tired of them payments too. God turned things around and we were able to go pay cash. Amen. That's you.
Yes.
Well, it's good you're in business. I done told you that business didn't do that for me. I blowed money left and right making wrong choices. I should already be a millionaire, but I blowed most of it. Right? But you can't cry over spilled milk, right? You spill milk, made a mistake, can't forget it. Bible says, forgetting those things behind, press toward the mark. Get up, march on, hallelujah, and say, I'm going to make different choices from here out. me and Travis talked a little bit today about Social Security and stuff, you know. And I told him, I said, well, you know, a good thing about this thing is, I said, there may not be no Social Security time I get 60 the way this government's going. I said, it's not a very good thing, I don't care who you are, to put your trust in Social Security. Don't put your trust in your government check. Don't put your trust in your check coming in every week where you're clocking in. The things happen. I mean, things happen. Amen?
All the time.
You see, I remember back when the only thing I thought, well, you know, Lord, I've not got no kind of 401k in this business, you know, and I don't got no kind of retirement in this business, and all of that, you know, Lord, is this really the route you want me to go in, Lord? And the Lord began to teach me through the Word of God. He said, there's nowhere in the Word of God where I told you to put your trust in a secular system ever.
Amen.
He even let it fell when it rained manna out of heaven. He said, pick up what you need. He said, don't get some more than what you need. He wanted them to know that he is their supplier. He wanted them to know that I'll take care of you, not this world system. Hallelujah. But you know, it takes building faith and endurance and building yourself up, building ourselves up, praise God, in the Word of God, letting the Word of God be the foundation for what we believe. That's how I believe. I turned out became a pretty good day.
Amen.
I could have did better, I'm sure. I could have made him go to church more. I let him off on revival nights. But it says faith comes by hearing and hearing. Give me that Hebrews 4. And hearing by the Word of God. That's why it's important to rehearse the Word of God. To meditate on the Word of God. To speak the Word of God over your sin. Well, God knows He can just do it. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says whatsoever things we desire, we pray, believe that we receive it. And it says have faith in God. Or it says have the faith kind of. Faith, God kind of faith. Well, right before that, Jesus, when he began to teach it out in Mark 11, he had spoke to the fig tree that wasn't bearing any fruit and cursed it. And they come out the next day and the disciples brought it to his attention. It didn't dry up right then. But Jesus spoke to that. He cursed it. He said, from henceforth, you'll not bear any fruit anymore. From henceforth. The next day, that fruit, that dried up. And they brought it to his attention. Then he began to teach them how faith in God. Whatsoever things you desire. So faith comes by hearing. Well, I just don't want to read the Word of God. Well, you better get used to it. If you want that conquering spirit of faith abiding in your life and your home and your finances, over your cars, over your vehicle, I bless everything I get. You're going to be a blessing to me until... Well, the other day, Travis, he told a guy down there, he said, Travis telling him, I asked him how much some tires was for that truck. And Travis, he said, yeah, he's got wire showing on one side. And I looked at Travis and I said, that can't blow out unless I let it. Well, my words ain't going to get negative. It'll blow out before I get home. I can curse my tires. You can curse yourself. Well, I'm just a nobody. I won't never be just like Jeffrey. He's a preacher. He go out to lay there probably just like I did. God, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me. You've anointed me like Jesus to preach the gospel to the poor. Heal the brokenhearted. Open-minded eyes. You know, the Lord told me, I told the Lord, Lord, everybody knows. I'm about to move to Florida for anybody to listen to me, Lord. They know me. They know my history. And then, you know what the Lord, he told me? He said, take that scripture. He said, and meditate on that scripture. He said, until you believe what it says. And so I did. I meditated. I said it every night for about 6 months over myself. The Spirit of God's on me, just like it was on Jesus. And Lord, you've anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Heal the broken, open blinded eyes. And you know what I've been preaching ever since.
Amen.
The only time I'm not confident is when I ain't heard from him on a message. Other than that, I'm a preacher.
Bless him.
But see, it wasn't that made me that. It was, I was just reaffirming in my spirit and renewing my mind to the fact that God had really literally called me to preach, and that I could do all things through Jesus who strengthens me, that I could go and do what he's called me to do. And I've been doing it for 20 years. No, we've been here 20 years. I've been doing it for 26 years. I thought I would run out of sermons after 6 months. I thought 3 times a week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday. I counted my notebooks, seen how many sermons I had from evangelizing for 7 years, and I thought, I'll be out of sermons in 6 months. 20 years later, I still got them.
Come on.
They just keep getting fresh.
That's right.
He takes the same sermons and just lights them back up. And I realized they ain't no new word. The word's the word. You get the word in, there's new seasons in our life. There's new chapters in our life. You know, there was a time when I was believing God to be the dad in front of Travis, that God wanted me to be pleasing to him, that he would grow up under a godly dad. You know, it didn't mean that I was perfect. It meant, Lord, he will look at me and know how to talk to you and communicate with you and you know you and fast and pray and seek the Lord. That one day, Lord, when he gets his family, Lord, he will lead them in the way that I led him. That's what being a godly parent to me is. Our house fasted. We fasted about every week. We fasted. We made Travis fast, but not off food. You ain't watching no TV. Whatever time me and Teresa set aside to fast, he had to join in. It was either no cartoons or you're fasting from that. Was teaching him how to fast for the Lord. And I've seen him fast before. I don't know when the last time was. He probably told me, but I mean, I've seen him fast. You know why he did that? I did it. He seen the significance from that. He seen the pattern dad fasted and sought the Lord and seen things happen because of consecrating myself to the Lord. Started on our way to church, and Aiden, he was doing something back here, and his nose stopped up. Tracy, what's wrong? My nose. Tracy, what's wrong with your nose? Is it stopped up? Yeah. So you better get Papa to pray for it. He said, Papa, pray for my nose. I said, okay, give me a hand. Well, I'm not going to wait later. Just lay down at night. I'm going to pray for that boy right now.
Amen.
Then when I got done, I said, in Jesus' name, amen. And he said, amen. Papa, pray for Aubrey's nose. He's learning, ain't he? Mm-hmm. He got his nose prayed for. Mama, pray for Aubrey's. So Aubrey back there, I said, Aubrey. She's watching LOL dolls on the way on Grandma's phone. Aubrey, I done forgot how she said it. But I said, yo, Papa, pray for your nose. I said, he was on an ark. In other words, she's telling me with that slang word, that's what it was. Noah. No, Papa. But she said, Noah. I said, Noah was on an ark. You know what? They're learning the ways of God. Teresa got him in the truck, and I know it may seem insignificant, but I'm telling you, wait till they get bigger and you see it. We're going to hang around and see it. We're going to see them knowing God and walking with God and changing that generation that they live in. Hallelujah. With Jesus.
Amen.
Just because, see, God's got a plan for our kids and our grandkids. It's just like this. The Bible says for me and you to leave an inheritance to our children's children. Now that tells me when I leave here, I should have an abundance, more than enough left over to give my children's children.
Amen. Bless them all.
And if every parent does that and believes God, that the inheritance of God is to leave our children's children with some substance on this planet, praise God, well then we all going into wealth land. See, we might not can see how God can do it, but you know what? God's got 1,000 ways that we can't even think about of opening avenues up to bless us. I mean, he causes promotion in every, the doers of the word. Give me that Hebrews 4, huh? You done got it?
You don't have Hebrews 4.
Oh, you didn't? Okay, let me tell you what it is. 12, start with. It says, for the word of God is quick. That word quick means alive. Living. It's not a, the Bible is alive. I'm telling you right now, that Bible is living. It's life-giving. It's got the power to save.
Amen.
It's got the power to heal. It's got the power to relieve, to subdue demons. The Bible talks about over there in Ephesians, that's why the enemy wants us so turned off by the word of God. You know what I mean? Just not taking the importance of it. It says the word is just taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. But the Bible says in Revelation that me and you overcome the enemy by the word, blood of the Lamb, and the word of our testimony. Our words coming out of our mouth. I tell Satan often, you can't even come on my property, idiot. I have a hedge. I have a shield of faith that quenches all the fiery darts of the devil. Why? Because I heard the word on it. I got the word on it. The Bible says the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged, piercing even and dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Did you know the word of God helps you and me judge right? I mean, it helps us judge right, judge situations right, judge our marriage right. See, I might think that I'm telling the Lord on Teresa. I mean, I'm telling her, Lord, I believe this, and she, if it wasn't for this, I could preach. And I come home, and I'm just telling all the faults that Teresa has, all of them. And then all of a sudden the Lord spoke to me. He said, it's you. It's not her. You could have fooled me, Mac. That was like a dagger. And then I started thinking about it. I thought, well, I'm supposed to call those things that be not as though they were. I'm not supposed to be talking to God about how much imperfection she's got. It's way back up, way back. I'm supposed to be talking. He wouldn't even talk to me about her. He'd only talk to me about me. And you know, he still does that today. If I go to want to talk down on somebody to God, boy, they know better than that. My better than that. God will say, well, you know better than a lot of stuff you do too. He won't even talk to me about nobody else. He'll be like, what about you? What about that? What about that? I'll be like, okay, God, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord. But the Bible says that it will help us judge. It'll help us make good decisions. I told Teresa I was just messing with her now. Because both of them, I went to the doctor today and I weighed 188 pounds. And I started to tell her, listen, that's because I got my coat on and my boots on and two shirts and it's cold out there. Mm-hmm. And I want to turn around and say, can I take all this off, please, and weigh me again? £188. That's crazy. I'm 5'6". I'm just a little taller than Monkey. I mean, him short as two in the church. We shouldn't be real heavy. And so I'm there, you know, and I'm telling Teresa, looked over at her and said, I reckon what I'm going to have to do, we're just going to have to go on a full no eat around here at all. I'm going to have to see if I can find us a gallon of Black Beauties. I told her, I said, when I used to take them Black Beauties, I hated food. I tried to eat a biscuit, nearly throw it down. Give me a Budweiser biscuit. I said, that way we can not eat nothing. Okay, she looked over there and I said, I'm just kidding. I'm not turning to speed to lose weight. Got to get on our faith, man. When that big biscuit's hollering at me, I got to say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Look, God, I need some lettuce. I'm like a rabbit. See, I got to believe God for my desired results. But when the trial comes, don't go ahead and swallow that rabbit.
Boy, y'all are getting quiet. We got to get back on faith, I reckon, bless him or something.
See, if we want desired results, we believe God to help us get to the place, the things that we know we need to do. Anoint us, God, to be in this area. We're already anointed, but help us, Lord, increase your grace in this, praise God. Just like me telling the Lord, you know, Lord, help me to love my wife as Christ loved some of the church, Lord. Help me to love her. You know, when I started really loving her through biblical eyes, you know, no matter what she did, I'm like, God, she ain't really real. She can halfway kill me. And I'll be like, ah, she just got a moment. She's just having a bad hair moment. It'll all be over in a little while. I got upset with her last night. The grandkids are Hayden screaming. Aubrey's wanting me to video her and put her on Facebook. I mean, you know, Teresa's trying to get their bath. We've just been through supper. Cartoons is on in the living room, and nobody's watching it, and everybody's loud. And Aubrey's running around with her flute. Y'all seen it. I put it on her, a little bit of it. All this is going on, and she says, you got to help me get the bed out of here to put Aiden in her in case it gets down cold. My house ain't never been cold enough to freeze nobody. But she got to bring the kids in the bedroom with us, you know. And so we're moving the thing. He's not even got his own bed yet. He's got one of the playpen things. Put him in it, you know, where he can't get out and get into everything at three or whatever. So I had to get it in there. Well, we're having a hard time getting it through the door, you know, and she's on one end. And things are feeling frustrated. And so she hurts my feeling a little bit. And so I just go out. I go put some wood in the heater, come back, and I just say, see you in the morning. Go to bed, 9:30. Well, this morning, you know, I thought, now you know good well you're killing the anointing. You stood on that word for years and all that. So I go back, go get the food for ministry and all that, get back to the house, and I go in there. She's sitting down on the couch over there. I said, I need some sugar. Now you don't. I said, I need some sugar. Now you don't. I said, I need some sugar now. Come on, now I need some sugar. Like she didn't really want it, but she's getting it. Reluctantly. She comes in there, turns around, back toward me, because, you know, been doing a little challenge and throat stuff. And so I got to kiss the back of her head. Ain't that a trial? So I just reach around and nibble her ear. She says, don't get that on my ear. I broke all that. Everything was fine. See, don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers. It ain't always convenient to be a doer of the word of God. You've got to go through past what you feel, yourself, how it makes you feel, and all of that stuff. Praise God. That's what the Bible talks about, that we walk by faith and not by sight. Now I'm going to get on all y'all churchgoers that ain't going to church for you today.
Come on.
Y'all sitting back watching me right now. That's fine. Thank you for letting us come into your living room. But you're missing out on the corporate anointing. You can hear these words, but there's an anointing in an assembly that you ain't going to get in your living. You're hearing a good story. Yeah. Now, I'm not saying God can't use that. But that ministry right there is for those that are bedridden. It's for those that are in prison. It's for those that simply cannot attend church. You know, and people have told me before, and if you think this, you know, it's not right. Well, you know, I've got my own pastor at home. Well, let me give you some good news. There didn't no pastor by himself come into your living room. It cost a lot of money to get in your living room. And that church, give their tithes and offerings like you need to do. Give their tithes and offerings into the house of God that enabled them to buy the equipment and to pay the airtime and the internet service and all of that to get this gospel in there. And you need to get to church and do your part. You might think, well, I'm not going to watch you no more. Bye-bye. I'm not going to get all sad about it. We've been here a long time. We're not here to get on to you or anything else. The Bible says for you to not forsake the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some are.
as much more as you see the day approaching, encourage one another to good works.
That's right.
See, you say you have faith. Show us your faith by your works. Don't just tell us. That's what Paul said. He said, I'll show you my faith by my works. Faith without works is dead, the Bible says. So I want to encourage you. Believing, seeing, believing is seeing. See, you've got to see yourself past the challenges of not going to church or not giving your finances to the Lord. Because all of this is in conjunction with the blessing working, praise God. And you know what? I'm believing God for signs, wonders, and miracles to follow this service time.
Amen.
And anybody that is a doer, embracer of the Word of God will get the results of the Word of God. So this is your year. And you know, it's kind of like God told me one time, he said, well, you know, he said, I don't have a lot of trouble when I start going to church. And I said, that ought to tell you right there that Satan's real. That every time you go forward in God, challenges come. I said, that's all of us, man. I said, the ones you see, you think is happy and all that, they might have had to fight 10 demons to get to church, but their mind's made up. They're going to church. They're going to serve the Lord. They're going to give. They're going to grow.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Bless the Lord.
So I want to encourage you, stay on the front line. Don't have to see to believe. Get the word of the Lord. Get it stirred up on the inside of you, praise God, so that you have the faith to speak to those mountains and call those things that be not as though they are. Call yourself in. Blessed. Strong. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we praise you. And Lord, we just